and welcome to the wonderful world of the TavgoCast. My name is George Weedman. We also have Jimmy Belikoff and Hello. Matt Visual.
Hello.
And I'm this week has gone by extremely quickly for me. I feel like it was just yesterday when we were recording the last one.
Yeah. It was the last week though.
It was, and
realistically,
I'm just wondering, like, what have I been doing with all that time? It's really been quite a roller coaster.
Metal Gear.
I mean, I'm just going to go out on a limb, you know, really like stab in the dark, really just like, you know, maybe reaching. I don't know if this is, you know,
reach around, right? You
know, yeah, definitely just reach around. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm going for here. Mm-hmm. Gonna say Metal Gear Solid 5.
It's a very lucky guess, but she got it.
And oh man! So how
once,
is it?
Once, I don't know. I
Worth
don't know if
weight?
I want to go down.
Is he going down with the ship, or you know, is he sailing for new horizons?
I don't know. I don't want to dwell on it.
I've done nothing
for the whole week and.
That doesn't sound good.
I mean, it's not bad. It's just, this is why I don't like to get hyped for things, is when they don't fill your incredibly stupid, specific expectations. And there's like a lot of anger circulating around right now regarding this game, and I'm afraid that I'm getting caught up in that.
Oh, so what are the headlines?
A lot of controversy over cut content, which I don't usually like to complain about, but this is one of the few rare cases where it's like conspicuously cut. Like there are very, very important plot threads that just get left dangling in the end. And then the
Why?
Whole thing kind of ends as good of a game as it is. It just ends on such a downer because of it.
See, now this is interesting because I've heard this as well, that there's like, It like story wise, this is probably one of the least strong Metal Gear Solids.
Yeah,
which is interesting because a lot of people are also saying gameplay wise, this is probably the strongest of the series. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just like an incredible gameplay experience. Which I mean, to me, that's much more important in the end. But to longtime Metal Gear fans, I'm sure that you know they want that story. They want those cutscenes.
Yeah, I wanted. Some cutscenes, and there weren't cutscenes, which is like stupid. But the thing is that when it's dealing with a 28-year-old chronology that it's trying to wrap up, and all the circumstances in real life seem to suggest that this is going to be the last one, it doesn't really go out with a bang. Like they tried to make it go out with a bang in MGS4, and it certainly did. Like it wrapped up everything with really long cutscenes meticulously explaining what was going on, along with also the like gameplay height of the series. The only problem is that the gameplay to cutscene ratio was ridiculously small. And I guess I was just kind of wanting a bit more of a bombastic conclusion when what it seems more like is It's almost like the sequel shouldn't have a number. Like it's a side story to the rest of the series.
Oh,
like it's Metal Gear Solid: The Phantom Pain, as opposed to Metal Gear Solid 5: The Phantom Pain.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I can't really input opinions on this because I haven't played it. But
would I be able to enjoy? I heard that you wouldn't be able to enjoy it unless you played Ground Zeroes. For the story, is that true?
Kind of. It's an important part of it. However, do you have PlayStation Plus?
Yeah.
You probably have Ground Zeroes then on your instant collection if you started before last month.
Yeah, I did. Oh, so an instant collection? What?
Yeah, that's what you pay PlayStation Plus fees for.
Oh, you mean it just automatically gets added?
I think so. I don't know if you have to like manually
download it first.
I've been manually adding it to the library, but not downloading it just to be sure. But I don't know if old games you might have missed in the previous month don't get added to your instant collection, which would be bullshit. But Ground Zeroes was free on PS Plus for a while.
Yeah, a couple months ago.
That's how I got a hold of the PlayStation 4 version. And if it's on there in your download library somewhere, you can just load it up and knock it out in a couple hours.
What happened is that I downloaded it on another account, right? But not the account I wanted the Plus on. So when I went to my other account, it didn't allow me to play it. So I'm just going to have to download it for the PC then. Yeah, it was on there. And even though I have PlayStation Plus, it doesn't load, so because it's another account. So yeah, beware of that, peoples out there. Make sure you're using one account for your like all your goodies and not multiple.
I'm really glad and mad sometimes that my roommate doesn't have her own account, because on one hand that means that juggling a friends list between the two of us is rough, but on the other hand that means that any games we buy can get very, very easily shared between the two without any need for bringing that collection elsewhere. So that's fine. I don't know. I don't want to dwell on Metal Gear though. I'm happy we briefly changed the topics, but what have you guys playing that are not games I've been playing? Because I've only been playing one game for the past week, and it's made time fly.
You know what the fuck I've been playing?
Super
Mario Maker is the answer that you should have said. I mean, I have been playing Terraria, but Super Mario Maker. Yo,
I have one on the way, and I'm super excited, Makered.
I'm glad you finished that off how I expected you to. But God damn, dude, it's good
for a $60 game. How is there enough content for that? Or is it mostly you get most of the content from the community?
I mean, okay, it depends on why you're purchasing it. In my opinion, I think it's worth the $60. But that's also because I have this assumption that they're going to be adding stuff to the game, because there is some conspicuously missing bits from the tool roster that I think is like odd. Like, for example, they don't have checkpoints to put in your levels.
Right.
So, you know, like the halfway points in Super Mario World levels where you hit it and it's like, wee-oo, and you get like an automatic mushroom and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's a staple of ROM hacks and Kaizo levels and shit like that. Conspicuously missing. So I have a lurking feeling that we're going to get some Splatoon-esque, like, in a couple weeks, here's a bunch of free shit, enjoy making more levels. Or, you know, hopefully in like a couple months I want them to release like a like overworld editor, so you can make like a level pack, so to speak, where you can make like a mini full game.
I wouldn't be surprised, because they did the whole time-gated thing,
right? And so I mean, most people fast forwarded through that, I'm not sure if you guys heard, but they had a patch where you can get the stuff faster without doing your time, you're like fast forwarding the clock on your Wii U.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, it, since they did it, they probably were like, oh, you know, we'll have some DLC later for free,
right. And, yeah. Generally, personally, I would say it's a worthwhile game. I was going to pick it up eventually, but a friend of mine actually surprised me with the game early, so I didn't have to spend the $60. So take my recommendation as you will. But I've had a lot of fun with it. There are a lot of very interesting mechanics that they have never put in Mario games before. So did you guys see that shitty article on this game?
No.
Washington Post one.
Oh, gosh.
I remember seeing one where it talked about how they were disabling time unlocks, but I think you already mentioned that.
No, the shitty article.
Okay.
The review.
I don't think the Washington Post review.
For all listeners,
Washington
don't go. Don't.
Post?
I'm going there right now.
Don't go there. All viewers, turn on your ad block and go to Washington Post to read their article.
An engine for circulating horrible new Mario in quote levels.
Yep. It's an angry old man who probably hasn't had a friend in like 10 years. Talking about how Mario Maker is a shitty game that just is like a power fantasy for people who think that they're good at game design to make shitty levels and share them with everybody.
I mean, to be fair, everything in this headline is exactly what I want out of it anyway. Like, when I really shouldn't be looking forward to this, but I'm looking forward to like playing through some stupid bullshit.
No, yeah, it's totally like, first of all, that guy said he didn't play a single good level. Fuck him. I've played a bunch of good levels,
well,
and not just ones that my friends have
with
made.
Like a pack of 80 or so.
Yeah, he criticized all the default levels too.
Really?
Yeah. It's just like, I'm gonna move on from that guy because I already spent a little bit complaining about him. He's a dumbass. So many people made responses saying he's a dumbass. So I don't need to say anymore. But the game itself, though, Mario Maker, super great. There's a lot of cool mechanics you can do that have never been like featured in Mario games before. For example, I made a level where in the cave levels in Mario World, you can find those little blue shelled guys called Buzzy Beetles. Mm-hmm. They're like Koopas, but they have like a really smooth shell. If you put wings on those, they you can't like hop on them to kill them. They act as platforms, but they kind of like when you're on them, they like move and react to you a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
And you can stack enemies on top of each other. And so I made a level where there's a Boo, and then I stacked the flying Buzzy Beetle on top of the Boo. So the Boo became a platform that you could manipulate by turning away or turning towards him, because you know how Boos move. They move at you when you're looking away, and they stop when you're looking at them.
So you can control it manually?
Yeah. Yeah, and so you can, like, the whole level is based on leading the Boo around and using him as, like, a platform and to, like, pick you up and move you to places and, like, solve puzzles with. And, like, you can never do that, and, like, they've never done that in a Mario game before because they never had, like, enemy stacking, which is, like, a big deal because you can stack enemies and make a whole bunch of very interesting and unique, I don't know, properties for them, and so I think it's great. I think it's fucking amazing. I'm going to spend a lot of time making levels, and I'm probably not going to put the game down anytime soon. It's very easy to jump on, play for like 20 minutes, like while you have inspiration, and then save your level and get off in like super quick.
So level head? Level head on levels?
I would like to do sort of an off-the-cuff series.
Unlimited
where
content.
Where I just like play through the level, like a level that I think is good and talk about it off the cuff instead of like edited. I found one. I'm so happy I found one that was just like on the random like recent uploads area, and I was like, this one seems interesting, let me play it. And then I played it, and it was just a fucking really, really cool, well-designed level. Like, it involved like picking up shells and throwing them and like taking them with you to complete like puzzles, but every section you like throw the shell and you do the thing, you're like, okay, I did that. And then you climb up a vine and you realize like, shit, I needed that shell. So you have to go back down, get the Koopa again, then like do a jumping throw to like get the shell up there to take it, to hit another vine, to go up, and you're like, oh shit, I need it again. You have to go back, and like it like drills into your head the idea of like, all right, always keep a shell around, like you're gonna need it. And the throws get more complicated and stuff. Is very cool, very well designed.
Is it off screen friendly?
Yeah, you can play the entire game on the gamepad.
Yeah,
it's fucking amazing.
Wait a minute, is there co-op in this game?
No, not that I know of.
Is that, like, I haven't heard anything on that. Is that a bad thing that I don't like that it doesn't have co-op in a game? Or
I mean, there's no real need for co-op. There's no real campaign. Like, I guess you can do, because the main like meat of playing other people's levels, aside from just like scrolling through the course world and finding them, is the 100 Mario challenge, where you get 100 lives and you have to play 8 user-made levels. And if you beat all 8 in a row on those 100 lives, then you unlock one of the amiibo costumes for the 8-bit levels that you can place. And it's a random one every time. And so, like, I guess it would be kind of cool to do, like, a co-op kind of trade-off. But, I mean, you could just pass the controller back and forth. It really doesn't... I don't see it adding much to the game, personally. Mm-hmm. At least unless they added some more modes that would make it more friendly. Like, if you can make worlds, like I said earlier, like if you can make like a Mario 3 overworld map with several levels on it, and then you made the ability to play like old school Mario 3 versus, where it's like, oh, I died, so now it's your turn to go through the world and stuff, you know?
On the dated Wii U? No. How could that be possible? I'm just playing.
I have one question, and that's what are these codes I'm seeing everyone paste on Twitter?
Oh, that's that is Nintendo being, you know, not so great with their online as usual, but they're a little better this time around. A lot of people are complaining a lot about it. That is how you access friends' stages. You have to type in the their 16-digit like ID code for the stage, and then it takes you straight to it. But you can also go to that person's profile in Mario Maker and follow them, and then you could just check the people that you follow to see what levels they made. So if you like are sharing levels with people that you know quite often, you can literally just like hit follow on their profile and you could see every stage that they upload when it uploads.
Well, can you browse by user?
No, unfortunately they don't. You can browse by user, but I don't think it goes by your friends list. Like, essentially there's like a ranking system based on how many stars your levels get, which is like, it's like a favorite. And so like the more stars you get, you'll be like placed higher on certain lists and whatever. Like I know, Gerard and Ross from Game Grumps are pretty high on the US rankings for like most starred creator. But they've been making a level a day each, so, and since they have that clout to get a lot of people to play them. But yeah, so I mean, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good game. There's a lot of stuff, and I've seen cool stuff within the first week of release. I can't imagine what we're going to be seeing in a couple months. The people getting super creative. Like, I'm expecting someone to write fucking binary puzzles in there sometime.
I was already laughing my ass off at one level I saw where it just spelled out in coins, "My wife left me."
Yeah, oh, I saw that one.
And then there was another one I saw that was called "Will You Save Your Son?" And you just walk past like pretentious, like the cinematic third person shooter dialogue that in coins where it says, "How far will you go to save your son?" Mm-hmm. And then after falling down a few pits, you see a Yoshi on top of a lava pile and a pea block that dumps him in the lava pile, and you go through another pipe and the coins say, "You just killed your best friend to save your son."
God.
And you walk a little forward and you have a choice between which pipe you want to go down, and they both lead to the same place, which is realizing you had no son all along.
Oh my gosh. I want to play levels like that.
Sounds like a better plot than
playlists, like depression playlists. That would be nice.
Depression playlist.
That sounds like a better game than Amnesia Machine for Pigs.
Oh. Yo.
Hey. I didn't like that one very much.
Just talking about it. It's just talking about it.
Really?
Yeah. Right, we were talking about like horror games that are coming out, like Soma, and which is basically the Amnesia guys, but not the Chinese room.
It is actually Frictional.
And
it's Frictional developed, not Frictional published.
And some of the VR horrors and stuff like that. But yeah, that got mentioned.
Yeah. Oof. Machine for Pigs was scary for the first half, and then when I realized that
it got boring.
Pretty much impossible to die, and yeah,
you have to kind of rub up against a monster in order to die.
You have to put yourself in a position to die. Like there, it's so hard to like accidentally like, "Oh no, the monster found me!" Like no. Also,
bad game design.
Also, boss fight. Why does that exist? Tell me why that exists. Why do I fight an invisible electric pig? Tell me.
They needed something to tack on 10 more minutes to make the conclusion more heart-pounding and cinematic. I don't know.
To be fair, the epilogue of that game is probably the best part of the game, where you're like walking up the pyramid. Like that part's actually really fucking good.
It's just a very mysterious way to juggle a walking simulator in a traditional horror game that was its real downfall.
It's just like it went to walking simulator. I don't know. I mean, we don't really need to talk about this game that's been talked about to death. I think you even made a video on it, didn't you, George?
Yeah, I made a review.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Man, I gotta go back and watch some of these old ones. Let's watch old videos, guys. Let's do that.
I don't I hate my videos usually. The farther after back every you go, week. Yeah,
the farther back you go, the dumber
the
my hair looks.
The cringe.
your hair just goes crazy, goes Super Saiyan after a while. Back in the days,
yeah, I mean it goes through stages. Like if you look through my videos,
activate V trigger.
Yes.
No one will get that. No one.
No, I get
V-Trigger
it.
Is a Street Fighter thing, right? It's just Street Fighter V. 5,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. There's Grand Theft Auto V. There's Metal Gear Solid V. There's Street Fighter V. We're getting a lot of Vs these days.
FADC.
Except for last week when we, or actually, no, not last week. That was like yesterday when we got Kingdom Hearts II.8.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that in the news, I'm assuming,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, no, I don't know, because...
You didn't hear about this?
I did not hear about this.
Oh my god.
2.8? Is it real?
II.8, but it's 2.8. But Kingdom Hearts, hang on. Kingdom Hearts 2.8 HD : Final Chapter Prologue. Which is three remastered, what kind of master?
Listen, Kingdom Hearts fans, we're very hungry, okay? We're starving over here. We want to be fed. With anything, because it's like Kingdom Hearts 3 is like our daddy that left us when we were young, okay?
Kingdom Hearts 3
we crave attention, okay? We want daddy to come back home, so we look everywhere else for our daddy, okay?
Here's let me do a less depressing way of saying that. Kingdom Hearts 3 is the meal that's apparently being cooked up in the kitchen. And Kingdom Hearts, everything fucking else that isn't 2 is like, well, especially this one, Kingdom Hearts 2.8 : Final Chapter Prologue is like the bones that they were boiling to make broth for the soup that you'll eventually maybe get. And they just like brought you out like a plate of fucking bones.
I'm
like,
so
here you go.
It is not the same.
It's so that.
No, how far will you go to save your dad?
Very far, apparently.
So is this a remaster? What does that have to do with Kingdom Hearts 2? Kingdom Hearts 2 was like 10 years ago.
It's the prologue to 3. It's the ground zeros.
The ground zeros, okay.
But it's like the ground zeros if ground zeros was like the last 5 levels of Peace Walker. Is there a mobile Metal Gear? All right. Like, it's just a whole bunch of, like, chunks of remastered other games. There's a game.
This one is a remaster of Dream Drop Distance, and it has the cutscenes for, like, Black Cover, and then it has, like, a Birth by Sleep, like, add-on that you can play through the campaign with Aqua, which will lead into Kingdom Hearts 3.
Hang on. You're not doing it justice if you don't say the full title of the Birth by Sleep remaster, which is Kingdom Hearts 0.2 Birth by Sleep : A Fragmentary Passage.
Come on. Stop hating.
There's nothing not to hate there.
That
title is hatred incarnate.
Is that you?
I'm really, really... confused right there. So wait, which game is not Kingdom Hearts 2, and which one is Kingdom Hearts 3?
That none of these are Kingdom Hearts 2. They just lead.
These are the shitty spin-off games that they're all on different platforms.
They're not crappy. Not all of them are crappy. Well, I don't think any of them are really crappy.
So wait.
They're actually
why are Kingdom Hearts fans so thirsty and desperate if they've been getting all these good spin-off games all these years?
They're all on other consoles. It's so ridiculous how they do that. It's so stupid. Like we had Kingdom Hearts 2, the fans go crazy, and then they just add these little side stories with Dream Drop Distance, which was for like a 3DS. Then your Birth by Sleep was on the PSP. Like they had them in all. They had one for the phone called Recoded. Like,
well, is that necessary?
I don't.
Usually, you don't have to play the phone games.
It's like they're draining money from everyone. from everyone.
Maybe, just maybe. That might be it. I'm not sure.
They're money
could be that.
Grabby.
There's a slight possibility that that could be the reason.
But it's
who knows?
Actually not a cash in. Like they're like Birth by Sleep. Like they're all they control well. They're all good. They all have a story. Whether if you
but
like the story
not
or not.
Three.
But it's not three, and that's
like
and that's
just fucking end your misery already.
Dude. But this like folds into why I can't tell how controversial of an opinion this is. Like sometimes I wish franchises would just die instead of getting dragged up. Like Max Payne was fine at number two. Metal Gear Solid was fine at number three, and then they explicitly tried to end it in four and failed. And they've just made monsters out of these things.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm there with you. I am also of the thoughts. Don't kill me, internet. I don't like Kingdom Hearts at all. So.
Sorry. How could you not like Kingdom Hearts when your wife loves Disney? How could you even say such a thing?
I'm not saying I don't like Disney. I'm just saying I don't like Kingdom Hearts.
Same thing. It's all about joy and conquering the darkness.
I wish Joy and Conquering the Darkness had decent gameplay.
Oh.
That's all I'm going to say. I try not to put it out because I know it's a controversial opinion.
Have we seriously discussed any of the games we've been playing this week this whole time? Oh,
yeah,
wait,
we talked about Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I don't know how I transitioned us into the news about Kingdom Hearts. It just really has been irking me for the past day. Because here's my peace offering, Kingdom Hearts fans. I'm angry for you. Whether I like the games or not, I know you like the games, and I want you to get your fucking Kingdom Hearts 3 already so that it can end, so that you can be happy. And it's like you're in an abusive relationship, and I'm telling you that you just need to leave him. And, you know, he just keeps holding it over you. You just need to get out of that, all right? That's why I'm mad for you guys. I'm mad for you guys that Square Enix is just fucking you repeatedly.
See, but I'm a Kingdom Hearts fan, and I just, you know, I'm going to buy it. You know what I'm saying?
Of course you are. And rightfully so.
I'm going to buy it because they're holding content hostage, and I want to know the story, the crazy story that it is. I want to know more about it, and it's either that or watch it on YouTube, and I don't want to watch it on YouTube. I want to experience it by myself. So I'm going to buy it, but yes, I think it's money grabby as hell. And my friend is, oh my gosh, don't you know you have that friend who doesn't, like, who likes to eat the food off the floor, you know? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter to them if the DLC is, like, overpriced or any of that controversial stuff.
That reminds me
they
of my friend Matt.
They still eat the food off the floor. Oh!
Fucking destroyed.
Oh! The roast is serious right now. The roast is serious right now.
Well, last week you were telling us how great World of Warships was.
What do you mean? I said I played it like one game. You know what? Let's go to news. You know what? This is good.
No, hang on. What have you been playing?
Yeah.
You get your time in the spot.
You were really leading up to it, too.
Yeah.
I haven't been playing anything.
You
know?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Bum, bum, bum.
No, I've been playing some Destiny. The Taken Kung.
We'll be back with the news right after this break.
I'm kidding.
Go ahead.
That's why I said
tell us
I
about
wasn't
Destiny.
Anything.
I mean, you're kind of not playing anything.
So the new thingamajig's out, and I'm hearing some controversy right now about how they're locking out content from the old thingamajig.
Are they?
More than just Peter Dinklage's old recordings.
What are they locking? I haven't run into this.
Hang on. This is brand new, so I might have to read it off as it comes.
Did you find it? I could probably.
Not yet. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
This is a Kotaku story. Destiny the Taken King leaves players who didn't upgrade behind. The Taken King doesn't just add a ton of excellent new stuff. It also locks out much of the old content, both in PvE and PvE. Year one only Destiny players can still access all the original story missions and raids, but they can't do heroic strikes or nightfalls anymore. I don't know what those words mean. Do you know what those words mean, Matt?
Yeah. Heroic strikes are the are like beefier strikes. You can play through strike. Imagine it's a dungeon in an MMO. It's a dungeon,
okay.
But when you add heroic to it, it's a lot harder. You have more enemies and stuff like that, and that's what you do to get end game gear. Nightfall is also like it's like the hardcore raid to do.
Okay,
yeah, and you could do those and get like your weekly done.
So, because Bungie has totally revamped the way playlist strikes work, players without the Taken King can only run through the relatively useless level. 20 Vanguard Legacy playlists, a big departure from the last incarnation of the game, which offered different tiers of playlists that anyone could access. Yeah, see, I still don't know what these words mean.
I don't know. I started playing this a couple weeks ago. The playlist is where they have a bunch of strikes in a playlist and you just keep going through them. That's basically it. And you keep getting loot. That's basically the playlist. I don't.
That sounds efficient.
They're saying that they're. I'm gonna have to read it myself because you say they're locking out year one strikes.
Year one only Destiny players can still access all the original story missions and raids, but they can't do heroic strikes or nightfalls anymore. And because Bungie has totally revamped the way playlist strikes work, players without the Taken King can only run through the relatively useless level, 20 Vanguard Legacy playlists, a big departure from the lesson.
People without the expansion, so they're forcing people to upgrade.
They're forcing people to buy another $60 game.
So what they did is that they bundled everything. They bundled all the expansion packs into the Taken King. So when you buy the Taken King, that's $60. You get everything, all the expansions, everything. Similar what Guild Wars 2 is doing as well. They're bundling the Heart of Thorns with the core game. Like now they're probably doing some scummy way to get everyone to upgrade and buy a $60 game again. Now is it worth it if you just have the base game? Are you like, because the vanilla game is garbage compared to what it is with the expansion. Like, the vanilla game is beta, okay? Like, it's bad. Destiny 2.0 that came out, you actually get more loot. There's actually progression going up. You're constantly getting new guns and stuff like that. Compared to Destiny, in the vanilla was just, like, a grind fest, and they didn't care about people's time. I don't know. I don't like. It depends on how much you play. Like, I don't know if it's worth it to upgrade, because what you're getting is a couple strikes and about what, like 2 hours or 3 hours of story. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And the Taken King alone. So you know, they did that thing with you guys are going to buy it anyway. They don't care. Activision doesn't care. They're going to get their money. You know, so.
So what you're saying is, originally, they just didn't give a shit about your time.
Right.
Now.
They want that money.
They just don't give a shit about your wallet.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. They did add that thing for $20, by the way. The dance pack and all that.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. So people complain.
People should have really aimed lower when they were like, "We'll pay for it. We'll pay $1," is what they should have said. "We'll pay $1 for this."
They wouldn't have
$20 fucking
Activision.
Bucks.
It's Activision. It's Activision, guys. But as
more like Fativision.
Got him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
just wanted to chime in. it's been a while.
I mean, I'd say you got him.
Yeah, I sniped him.
Yeah.
Got him. These nuts. All right. All right. As I'll be quick. As Taken King, they replaced Dinklage and everything like that with Nolan North, which is he's like a geeky bot now, geeky nerd bot. Who's seems like more of like your kid brother more than like the Peter Dinklage type acting, you know, so it's a little weird, but the delivery is better in for the most part. And you remember all those story parts where they say, "Oh, we're gonna add things you can scan." Well, there's not many of those, and it really doesn't make much of a difference. Mm. So for people who are like, you know, oh, they might be fixing the story now. Really? It's the same thing. It's the same mm-hmm. thing just with Nolan now and maybe a few more voiceovers. But the story's still kind of like empty, at least. My friend reads all the grimoires. So he likes it. He likes it. For me, I don't read all the grimoires, so I
don't
know.
He likes logging on to Bungie.net to read his grimoire cards?
Yes, he's full on. He is full on with the Destiny. So he tells me all the story bits, and it's actually pretty cool, but it's not in the game. So,
yeah, that's, like...
Yeah.
Is it...
It's.
I just don't understand, like,
what
is it
the
really...
purpose?
Is it really impossible for the grimoire cards as just being text to be inside of the game to read?
I feel like maybe it's a limitation because of they're on pre-gen consoles that they messed up themselves, that it can't be a big file. Like, I don't understand why they don't have voice. Like, Bungie's making money. Like, how come they don't have voice acting for... Like, now they replace, like, they give you text now. When you go for a quest, everything is quest now. They just added a bunch of that in the game where you can go out and do these like missions and challenges and stuff, which don't mm-hmm. really mean anything. They're just busy work, right? It's fun, but it's busy work. Mm-hmm. And there's no voice acting for it. It's you might as, and it, most of the writing there is just like, eh, it's not really like compelling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, like, they said they were going to add all this story stuff when really there's not much there. All I'm saying is I'm kind of disappointed in such a game that's huge. Like, the game is ridiculously huge, right? The mm-hmm. number, I don't know, it's on the top numbers of most played on consoles. So, and they just can't get this right. I'm hopefully it's a limitation between the pre-gen, or they just like want to save money and or whatever.
Are you talking about storytelling issues?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
I'm noticing that's a theme with almost any super huge AAA game, is that they just can't figure out how to smoothly fold a consistent and coherent story into the mix.
Now,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. The music is ridiculously good. The level designs are really good. The strikes, the atmosphere, those are nice. Story?
Here's the thing. As far as the music goes, of course it's good because it's Marty O'Donnell.
But it doesn't matter. You could say that for any game that has good stuff. Oh, it's because it's this artist. He's really good. You could say that for any game.
I mean, the music is completely 100% disconnected from that. Also, fuck Bungie for firing that guy unceremoniously.
It's not Bungie. It's Activision.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There was some drama
fuck
that got revealed.
Somebody for doing that. And congrats to him for winning that lawsuit and getting his shares back.
For real. That ridiculous. He was so scared that he copied... he backed up the album that they're not even using in the game. He backed up the album and he ran home with it. And that's breaching contract. And he did not care. He did not care. I was like, good on him. I would have done the same dang thing.
Yeah.
All my work gone.
We know the details now.
Yeah. Like, don't we? He made the track. He made tracks for the whole 10-year like roadmap. You know? And it's.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's the same thing with the writer. The writer also got left because of that. Because they're not going to use all his he wrote out the whole story for the mm-hmm. 10 years, and they're not going to use it. So he left and went to Microsoft.
And then they uploaded it on Bungie.net, and he's like, what the fuck?
it's so shady. I just don't get it.
I like, it's another thing where, like, I am angry for Destiny fans that there is, like, there is some good game in there, and there's just all this bullshit surrounding it.
It's pretty sad. It's pretty sad. I wish... See, those people who don't really care about the news and what's going on in the industry, like, those guys are fine. They're just living the life right now, you know? But, like, people who actually, they're in it, then, you know, you're gonna feel weird every time you boot up Destiny. Like, man, the guy's head in this is really crappy. Yeah. But yeah, there you go. Wow. There's my Bungie stuff.
All right. So anyways, a really long time ago, we said we would get into news, but then learned about why Bungie is bad now. Because I guess...
Activision.
Well, I mean, they're in cahoots, I guess.
Well...
They brought this beast upon themselves.
Are you not going to go to work if you're under contract?
I don't know. I mean, when you're making a deal with Activision, you're making a deal with
the devil,
with all sorts of shady practices.
I'm glad you finished that. Frame,
I just didn't know if I wanted to directly compare it to the devil until we'll get hyperbolic after these messages.
Push.
When things start changing right before your eyes, when shapes just seem to appear out of nowhere, when the whole world seems transformed, you've been Tetrisized. Nintendo introduces Tetris. It will mesmerize you. Tetris challenges the mind and puzzles the imagination. No other game can stack up to Tetris. Nintendo, now you're playing with power.
Hello, and welcome back to this super happy, cheerful podcast.
Yeah.
Brought to you by some of the happiest, cheerfulest people on the internet.
The TOVG podcast, sponsored by Morton's. Morton's, piles of salt.
Is this the steakhouse?
No, Morton's, the salt company.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I know
what you're talking about now. I was just thinking of the steakhouse chain we have in Georgia. For some reason, that's what my brain first associates with Morton's.
I mean, that's fair. Like
speaking of salt, though.
Yeah.
Kiji Inafune is probably super duper mega salty over having to delay Mighty No. 9.
I mean, realistically, he probably doesn't care.
As a gesture of apology and goodwill, he was to release a demo version of the game that is also being delayed. This demo was scheduled to release on the 16th, which is yesterday of recording, but it's just mysteriously absent. And as we found out, the official blog announced that the trial version has a good chance of missing its launch because of issues with the distribution method, whatever that must mean. So Jimmy, you had some words to say about how you think this game is going.
Well, okay. So I'm going to preamble this by linking you guys
the video.
So you can just put it on in the background, you know, maybe skip around in it. Gigaboots did a 47-minute and 31-second playthrough of a special demo. Which seems to be this trial thing that got delayed, or maybe it's a different demo that is not the trial thing. I've been holding my tongue on Mighty No. 9. I only criticized the business practices because that's the only part of the game that I knew about. The Kickstarter bullshit and the Red Ash bullshit and overall stuff that I'm not very happy with.
Oh.
Now that I have to see the game, now that I can see the actual game, fuck this. I'm so mad for everybody who backed this. I'm sorry that you guys backed this, and I'm sorry that this is what you're getting, because God fuck, this is...
I'm watching it now, and like, I don't know, I'm not the biggest Mega Man fan in the world, so I have a hard time identifying what I'm supposed to be really offended about. It doesn't look overwhelming.
Can I be picky and say the graphics look so bad?
You're not being picky. They're
Dude,
fucking garbage.
Look at the textures on the wall and the background and where the train falls. It's just a little explosion. Like I'm editing
a video. Skip to 250. Skip to 250.
All right.
250.
There's a cutscene, quote unquote. This is all the cutscenes in the game are like this.
Oh,
pretty much
no.
Something that should be a screenshot, but it's in engine for some reason.
Oh no,
look
his mouth's
sides.
Not moving, but he's talking. He is
they,
not moving, but
look
he's
at the
talking.
Sides.
Yes,
look at the sides, though.
Yes,
look at the sides. It looks like a PS2 game.
There,
it needs to be clean. I don't care if it doesn't need to be high res. It's not what I'm saying. I thought they were going to go 2D. I felt like they should have gone 2D.
2D would have been good because what I'm hearing is that they have significantly limited what this game can do graphically for the sole purpose of making sure it runs on 3DS. So the whole base game is going to be the 3DS version running on everything else, essentially, graphically. That's why the explosions look like shit. That's why the game looks like shit. Why the textures look like shit. Why the backgrounds are like barren, blank, lifeless.
Yeah, like, I see what you mean in this cityscape here. There's about like one row of buildings in the background, and the rest is just blue fog with nothing.
Yep, that's how most levels look. Level design wise, it seems okay. Gameplay wise, there are a few major issues, such as the fact that you have an infinite air dash for some reason.
Oh, so it's like Kirby. That's
kind
just
of.
Like Mega Man has always been, right?
It's no, like Kirby. Mega Man doesn't have. I didn't catch the sarcasm. sorry. Let me see if I could find. There is a cut. Okay, skip to 9:45 in the video.
Okay.
If you go through my Twitter feed, I'll probably link this video somewhere. If you want to find this video that I'm referencing, it's by Gigaboots. It's called Mighty No. 9 Special Demo Quick Play 60 FPS. Has a half dislike ratio. I feel bad for Gigaboots because it's not his fault that the game is fucking awful.
Yeah.
But this cutscene that I timestamp for you guys is a bunch of static models doing idle animations with unmoving mouths having a serious discussion. I think I linked you too far into it. You go back to like 9:20 or
something. I don't know. I kind of like the next shot where he looks super duper mad, kind of.
It looks like a lifeless
standing
puppet.
There.
Like a toy.
Yeah.
With shiny, like shiny arms and legs. Like that old.
Yeah. That's the thing. Beck, which is apparently the name of the main character, Mighty No. 9, his concept art and like the official art made him look fucking cool. And these models make him look fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like even the other characters. Oh, okay. The other characters don't look great. The like default girl version of him that's in the game looks like her model looks really good, but from what I've seen cutscene wise, she's like the least character. I also just minor gripe just because this is stupid. The doctor who made the Mighty Numbers, named Dr. White, not Dr. Light.
Oh,
you know, the guy who made the Mega Man.
Is there a Dr. Black?
No. But
is there a Dr. Blimey who's the arch nemesis?
Dr. White and Dr. Lily. Yeah, so I mean I'm sure I've lost us a whole bunch of viewers just shitting on Mighty No. 9 for a few minutes, but really, for fuck's sake, guys, I feel bad for you. I am mad because this is a thing that was funded for almost $4 million. And
listen,
it's be
if they get their enjoyment, their money's worth, then good on you, man. But holy crap.
This is not a game that I would pay retail price for.
No.
But it's like once he starts moving around and jumping and shooting, it looks okay.
It looks like a demo.
Like exceedingly okay.
It kind of looks like a demo, like a tech demo. Like oh, we haven't touched up the background yet. Because the background.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Yeah, the backgrounds
just
look bad. I'll give you that. The cutscenes look bad. I'll give you that. But
and he's lifeless. Like, look at him. He's lifeless. He's sitting there. He has no expression on his face while things are going on. Someone just exploded in front of him. Okay, in this cutscene, this is a in-game cutscene at the end of like the fire level with the fire trucks and stuff. And he's just sitting there with no expression on his face.
Yeah. In T-pose, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed like that. He T-poses when he's talking to people.
Yeah.
What?
Also, the part in the video that we're at skipped past a little thing, but the guy, or maybe it's actually after this, the guy playing finds out that there's a stumble mechanic. So when you're jumping and you land on the floor and you're still moving it forward in a direction, Beck stumbles for a second and you lose control over the character as he like moves forward a few paces.
Okay.
Which is awful for a precision platforming shooter game, which is
if this is supposed to be anything like Mega Man, which it looks like it's trying to be a lot like Mega Man, it's pretty obvious. That's like crucial, is having control over your fucking character when you're platforming, especially if the stipulations of this is like, oh, are you moving forward and jumping? You're going to stumble and lose control of your character. That's not a good mechanic.
Maybe he just wanted to make levels designed around your character stumbling while you move and jump. I don't know. There's still a chance, right?
I'm for the backer's sake, I'm hoping that this game, that this demo is not what the final game is going to be like, and that it just blows everybody away. But it's not looking promising, and I'm not pulling punches anymore. This is bullshit. It's bullshit for the backers. It's bullshit for mainly the backers. I'm so sorry, guys. This is fucked up. This game is exceedingly mediocre. And that's like being nice. Okay, I'm done. We can talk about other things now. I've got my salt out.
Man, he might have been one of those flukes. You know?
I know I want to review this. I haven't really been keeping up with the medias and the controversies super well. And I just want it to have a chance, because if I'm going to review it, then that means I'm going to have to play it, and I don't want to play something that's a bad game.
I mean, maybe for your sake, it would be better to media blackout anything else that happens for it, so you can go in with a less biased opinion. Because if I played this game right now, I'd probably just be like, you know, I'd have the news all over my mind instead of the game itself. But like, it's kind of how everyone else's experience is going to be too, because it's what they paid for. But yeah. Also, frame rate issues. But I mean, that's like a little more okay because it's a demo. But
how can it have frame rate issues though if they're like, if it looks it does not look like it should be having frame rate issues on any platform.
Yeah.
One question: can you after you jump, can you move around, or is it like static
in the air? Yeah, I believe you can move around in the air.
Oh, okay. Just making sure, because
I mean,
he was
you have
jumping,
the air dash,
right, and I was like, "What the heck?"
And I mean, the dash looks okay, I guess. Okay,
that's kind of what it kind of amounts to. It looks.
Yeah, I'm being a hater here. I feel sad for the people who played it. I guess it's not for me. Maybe it's just not for me and Jimmy.
Just to tack that on to the end, so we have a disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
I guess it's not for me.
It's not for me and Jimmy, you know.
You don't have to disclaim that. It's I don't know. I don't know. I also don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to a lot of Mega Man stuff.
Oh, I mean, same here, but I'm not judging it even based on being a Mega Man game. I'm judging it based on just being decent.
But I mean, like we love Shovel Knight, right?
Yeah, I love Shovel Knight.
So how do you really compare something that looks so similar and sticks to the ethos and the attitude of Shovel Knight when it's like a video that you're watching and not something you're playing?
Because I can identify mechanical choices that don't necessarily have to do with how it feels to play, but how it's designed to be played, that are not conducive to the gameplay, such as the fact that the bosses seem like you can just stand there and brute force them.
And plus, Shovel Knight looked good on in the trailer from way before anyone touched it. They were like, damn, like, I'm getting that. Like, immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. Do you guys feel that some of the old developers that made these games that you really enjoyed when you're young, they just are not really good developers?
I mean, well, is the thing.
The game they made back then was just, it just happened, and it's not actually because they were good at making games.
Well, okay, let me
not to say that for him, but just does. Do you think that happens?
Yeah, no. I want to make my comparison before I answer. Yeah. For the longest time, George Lucas was like this revered filmmaker. After the prequels, people were like, George Lucas, how could you fuck up? And then now these days we're getting information that like, yeah, George Lucas's original cut of Star Wars was fucking stupid, and the editors made it like better by a lot. And then you kind of realize, like, maybe George Lucas wasn't really why Star Wars was good.
Right. Well, then that means it was George Lucas's team.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Keiji Inafune could not, like, could very possibly not be the reason why Mega Man is good at all.
Right.
And some other guy who, like,
right,
that
no
did
one knows.
The good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he was the character designer, if I remember correctly. And I think it takes a little bit more than just the character designer to make a good game. But I don't know. I can't say that, you know, from a position of knowledge. I'm just saying, based on, like, the George Lucas thing, it's quite possible. And
so, oh, sorry.
That's it.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I also, we do need to segue.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
We've
been hanging on this for a while.
One of our slick TOVG segues.
Right.
We've been on Mighty No. 9. Mighty number nope, I should say, for quite a while, but there's another topic relating to teams of specialized individuals creating things together, getting restructured as time goes on.
Right.
We got big news coming in from Nintendo this week. They have named their new president. It is Tatsumi Kimishima.
Actually, you did very good.
Yeah. I feel super proud. I should call my mom.
Tatsumi Kimishima.
So this is the previous president of Nintendo of America from 2002 to 2004 before Reggie Fils-Aimé took over. He was also the chief financial officer of the Pokemon Company in 2000. And it has since been revealed, though, that he's only been elected for 1 year. No word on if they'll pick another afterwards. I guess they'll just have to, like, see how he does for that year and how he likes it and how the rest of the company likes it. But right. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't seem like someone they just brought in from out of fucking nowhere. It seems like a kind of logical choice. Like, this guy's been with the company for a good long while.
Right. I don't know. I wish him best of luck.
Yeah. There's also another good deal of corporate restructuring going on the same day. I guess they had some big board meeting where they wrote stuff down on paper that was going to happen all at the same time. They are merging its research and development division with its systems development division into a newly branded platform technology development division. The idea being that they want to, I guess, have some resources more focused towards smartphone applications. Later on in this report, which I'm also getting from IGN, they talk about another merger with entertainment analysis and development and software planning and development getting merged into something called entertainment planning and development. Which IGN says will not only aid in the creation of games on Nintendo platforms, but also for smart devices. Shigeru Miyamoto and Jinyo Takeda have had their titles changed. In case you don't know, Takeda is one of Nintendo's very, very first game designers whose career predates that of Miyamoto. He did a lot of stuff from the 70s and 80s no one remembers, but one thing he did do is the team that developed battery backup saves for Legend of Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
So they're calling him a technology fellow now, and Shigeru Miyamoto is a creative fellow.
I love it. That's so good. It's like the most, like, endearing grandpa kind of title.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they can do what the fuck they want. You know who they are. Title, like, you don't really need a real description. It's fucking Miyamoto and Takeda.
But it's also like not some soulless managerial position either.
Right.
He's not a project lead fellow. He's a creative fellow.
Project lead fellow.
I was just thinking of any way that might have him doing the same stuff, but with a much more soulless sounding name.
I think you nailed it.
Thanks. Thanks, bro.
Director fellow?
Director fellow sounds even less appealing than creative fellow. I mean, creative fellow, you could just...
I like creative fellow.
If you
think that's great.
Like, a naked man running down the street slinging paint on people, you could say that's a creative fellow.
I suppose that's one way to define that, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we have anything shocking and controversial to say about this stuff?
Personally, not really. I wish Tatsumi Kimishima the best of luck and Nintendo the best of luck, and I hope that that this has no negative effect on them. I hope it's just only positive from here on out, because I like to see them succeed.
There is one fun little quote that sounds kind of smarmy. This is from a Nikkei report that was translated as the day went on, where supposedly Tatsumi Kimishima said that he predicted the Wii U to fail due to it being too similar to the Wii, which is like just so much easier to say now that it's happened. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much really weight I want to give or care about that one. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nintendo Directs will continue. I would assume the idea is that they don't go anywhere, but shouldn't we have had one by now? Fairly recently.
I think maybe they wanted to let it sit a little while to give Iwata's death a bit of breathing room before they did another Nintendo Direct, since he was so integral to them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm sure they took some time to plan. I feel like they probably know what they're going to do for future ones, but I think they just wanted to sincerely like just give it some time.
The quote they sent to IGN says, Nintendo Directs will continue, but we have no details to provide now on who will be featured or the topics that will be covered. So I'm wondering if Tatsumi's going to try to have a similar stage presence, which is a weird thing for a company president to have. But that's I guess the legacy that got left to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. What's that, Matt? You had an oof.
No, I don't know. It's gonna be weird just seeing another guy up there. I don't know if he wants to even try.
If we see another guy.
Yeah,
It would be weird if we don't see another guy, and it would be weird if we saw another guy.
Right.
Yeah, I think. I think it's a very weird fine line to walk, because like, do they change the tone entirely, or do they try and like have a person continue on Iwata's legacy of being entertaining in the directs?
But yeah, which like I said, is a weird thing for a president to be expected to do. Like the Nintendo Directs were kind of a pretty novel concept.
Yeah,
where you have the executives talking to the audience, which is fine, but at the same time, it makes you wonder how differently things would have gone if the executives just happened to be horribly ugly people, which mm-hmm. would have nothing to do with them being bad executives, but would make the directs maybe a bit less of an appealing product in the most shallow of ways.
Yeah,
they could do a little joke, you know, make Iwata like Bowser, and then Mario jumps over. That's also played as Tatsumi, and
that's pretty poor taste.
I know, right? Like, I don't know.
Only now?
No,
too soon. Too soon? No.
I mean, I don't think that should ever be a joke.
Bowser goes down the fire. I mean, but it's also Iwata.
The implications that Iwata is a tyrannical lizard overlord, and that the hero Kimishima drops him into a pit of lava to take over Nintendo is not a... I don't think that's a respectful image.
I'm glad that we're on the topic of tyrannical lizard overlords, though.
Okay.
Because Electronic Entertainment... I mean, Electronic Arts... it's different. They were rumored to be buying out CD Projekt, the developers of The Witcher, which you'll know have been enjoying a good spate of PR for most of the year.
Right.
A good spate of positive PR, that is. But this is like an absolutely hilarious story. So there's a small gaming news website called DSO Gaming that supposedly got a hot scoop from an insider anonymous informant who had a pay stub to prove that they work with CD Projekt, saying that EA executives were over there and that the only reason they would be over there is to buy them out because they're not making any new games soon, which number one seems like an awfully speculative bit from the insider, because you'd probably want something more than their guesses to go up on that. And number two turned out to be totally bogus. CD Projekt people have been immediately replying to these rumors, casting them out as false. A community manager responded by saying that he just bumped into Martin Iwaniski, who is one of the founders, And he says, this news was new to him. I guess the Informer has better insight than the CD Projekt Red founder. Later to Eurogamer, they issued the following statement saying, we usually don't comment on rumors, but this one has become quite viral and we think it deserves to be put to bed. We are not talking with anyone regarding selling CD Projekt Red or GOG.com, period. And the payslip is a fake. It was not issued by our company.
Dang. Slam.
Donk.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, don't believe anything you hear on the internet. It feels weird, yeah, like saying this because I broke a very similar story earlier in March, but at the same time, it just sounds like the methodology, which was also fishy in and of itself, because like I'm nothing, like I think I'm even less popular than DSO Gaming, but it still seems like they just really didn't go through the motions trying to verify their sources' identity first and then their story itself, because it makes no sense for them to be selling themselves off like this after making a hugely successful game by themselves and figuring out a self-sustainable model. They should not really be in the market for a buyout. Like they kind of for now, like they have themselves figured out.
Yeah.
Also, apparently the pay stub was a fake.
Yeah. Which is kind of
kind of hilarious. So yeah, that's another story that happened this week. I thought it was kind of funny because it also made me feel like a smug bastard for doing a similar thing and actually reporting on stuff that was right. Because that also was like making me really nervous back in March. I was like, oh God, what if this story turns out to be fake? Like even though I was pretty darn sure it wasn't, it was still like bombastic enough to it seemed too weird to be true for about a week, and then the next week the video got mysteriously taken down and the president of Konami was announcing all the stuff that I was being told on the inside, and I kind of know what it's like, so
they can't afford
but
to
I
be
still
late.
Like to feel smug about it. What's that?
They can't afford to be late, you know? Other people are going to publish the story, whether it's true or not. So they're just going to throw it out there into the wind to get some of that AdSense, you know what I'm saying? I know it sounds bad to say, like, oh, they're all about the money, but, you know. I mean, they're releasing some of these posts.
When it's your job. Yeah, when it's your job and your job relies on the money, sometimes
you got to go in the mud and get dirty.
Also, this rumor being false turned out to be a story in and of itself, so they won either way.
Double stories, what up?
It's like a story within a story.
Here comes the money. Money.
Apologizing for delaying a demo that you were issuing as an apology for delaying a game.
Let's just move on to the last topic.
Bloodborne's first DLC expansion, The Old Hunters, has been announced for November 24th.
Oh, man, yeah. I can't wait to play more of that game that I've played a lot of because it's on PC.
I don't know, Matt, you've played lots of Bloodborne, right?
I played the first stage and I was just like, my butt hurts from all this all this ramming that these
keep it PG
wolves are ramming me and killing me all the time. See, I don't know. I want to go back to it and play through it, but I feel like I need to be in the right mindset, you know? You can't you gotta lube up before you play Bloodborne, right? Am I right?
Okay.
You can't No, you think is it easy? Because I don't know.
I think I don't know how much like time you have to set aside from it, because you can like sit down for 30 minutes and still make good progress. Like as long as you get to the next bonfire, you've made a tremendous leap. And depending on how much you know and what kind of mindset you're in, that process can last anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours.
As a guy who beat it, are you interested in playing the DLCs? Did you play DLCs for Dark Souls 2?
Not for Dark Souls 2, but Dark Souls 1 had an excellent DLC where they did a lot of interesting things that the original stages did not play around with. Like like using enemies as torches. There's also some really cool tech where weird floaty, smoky things with glowing eyes would just float up to you and attack you and materialize into weapons and figures as they were doing it. I forget even what the name of the DLC was called, because when I was playing Dark Souls, I played the Game of the Year All DLC Included Edition, which just kind of folded it naturally into the game, which is what they're doing here. And they are releasing a new Japanese version, no word on North American or European markets, but they're releasing a new Japanese version of the game called the Bloodborne The Old Hunters Edition, which makes me wonder if this might be the only one, as opposed to Dark Souls 2, which I believe had three expansions come out for it, which were all actually very highly reviewed.
They released Destiny Taken King Edition, so and that game is still planned to do a lot more. Not that Bloodborne and Destiny are equivalent, but...
10 years, my friend.
What, $60 a year or what?
Nah. They want you to get the game, then buy the expansion pack, which is $20 each, and then do the same thing again with the Taken King, buy a $60 game. You know, they kind of want to rack in as much money as possible. You know what I'm saying? Not
this,
Bloodborne.
This isn't
Bungie.
No,
This isn't a Bloodborne or a Destiny situation. Like
I was just saying that Destiny released a full version, the full game and Taken King edition of the game, and they're still planning on more. So there's possibility for Bloodborne to be planning on more. That's what I'm saying.
Is it going to be released with a patch to get 60 frames?
Shit.
Oh, rusty.
Probably not. The PS4 could barely handle Bloodborne as it was. Hello.
You know what would really handle Bloodborne? A PC.
I agree with
that. Matt, back me with
that
air
horn for PC.
Huh?
I know we were talking over each other. What'd you say, Matt?
No, I don't know. Like I'm kind of getting annoyed about the whole like everything should be on PC thing, but I kind of agree with it when it comes down to this, because it feels like it doesn't hold 30 frames well. And you were saying that it's only in the beginning areas, but like, man, like holy crap, the dips are real, man.
I just want it to come to PC because I want to fucking play the goddamn game, and I'm not going to buy a $400 console to play just Bloodborne.
Weren't you like making fun of me last week for being excited that Dragon's Dogma was coming on PC?
I'm just saying, I made this comparison. Like, if it's like 3 years from now, I'm probably not going to give a shit if Bloodborne comes out on PC. But I want it to come out like now while it's still relevant, while I still have the possibility of playing through it and like enjoying it, you know. But
yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm just saying, Dragon's Dogma is kind of fucking old.
It's got Lovecraft horror, and I don't care that Dragon's Dogma is old. Like, it's not gonna get retroactively worse than it was at the time.
Yes, it is. Like it's gonna be that fucking port makes me laugh every goddamn time.
I just keep thinking about
horns. Sorry that HD remaster, isn't that what it was called?
That's what it was called.
I'm gonna buy it.
I think that's a
good
time.
You're gonna buy it?
I'm gonna do a Let's Play. Let's play Turok HD Remix.
Oh no.
And just have a pixelated thumbnail. Just a zoom up.
Just have one of the models. Yeah, one of the fucking like three polygon models just like zoomed way the fuck in.
It's just a triangle.
Single triangle.
With like a JPEG of a triceratops stretched across the triangle.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
Oh no, that's going back. That's going back. Oh my gosh.
Okay, that's our last news story for the day, is the Bloodborne DLC that no one cares about, apparently.
I care about it if it was on a fucking thing I could play. I'm not spending $460 on one game. I will spend $60 on Bloodborne gladly.
Let's see.
But I'm not going to buy a fucking PS4.
What else does the PS4 got? It's got Until Dawn.
It's got, okay, first of all, that's on PC.
No, it's not.
It's
Until
not?
Dawn?
No, it's exclusive, man.
Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
It also runs at like 12 frames per second.
Right. Also, I'm not too interested in playing it myself.
It's not to say it doesn't look good. It looks good. Not really interested. Yeah, maybe. Like, even just maybe.
Drunk
but,
Night. Mm-hmm.
The only things that I could see myself playing if I got a PS4 would be Axiom Verge up until it came out on PC, Bloodborne, and Journey. I really want to play Bloodborne and Journey, but those two games are not nearly enough to justify the console purchase.
Journey is something I would not get your hopes up for a PC release. Bloodborne, years goes on.
But, like, with Journey, it's a game that I can, like, hey, man, can I borrow your your PlayStation for, like, a night or something? And then, like, maybe someone who's not playing their PlayStation will be like, yeah, sure, go for it. And then I can play Journey once for 2 hours and then give it back to them. But, like, Bloodborne doesn't have it so easy.
You could also Redbox Until Dawn that night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
Knock two. Anyways, two for one.
Yeah, I guess any last words before we head out for another exciting week that's just going to go by so fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't hate me for the Iwata joke.
Don't hate me for Mighty No. 9 and Kingdom Hearts.
Don't hate me for calling Japan Sushi Land. Three podcasts ago.
Please rate us not hate on iTunes and don't hate us out to your friends.
All right. I'm liking this. Maybe it would be best not to say my real YouTube this time.
Oh yeah. If you
if you don't want to hate us on YouTube, you can not hate me at youtube.com/bunnyhopshow.
Me at youtube.com/bunnyhopshow. And I also have an alternate channel called Sunder Games.
Yeah. Except for that, it doesn't exist. But yeah, if you really want to shovel your hate,
it does exist.
Sunder Gamer.
Oh, it doesn't matter. They'll
if you want to shovel your hate towards me, my YouTube URL is youtube.com/pewdiepie. And then that'll take you right to me, and you can just, you know, find a video, anyone. I'll see it. I read all the comments on there on my channel. No, I'm kidding. That guy's cool. I'm not like he'll see it. He has fucking 7 million comments a day. But find me on Twitter at SunderCR. Find me on YouTube at SunderGamer.
SunderGames does exist.
Yes. SunderGames.
SunderGames.
It does exist.
No, it really does. It looks like it's not an active account, but someone on YouTube took that name.
SunderGames.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this before.
When you're trying to make your other channel.
Their last activity was liking a Tobuscus video from 4 years ago.
Yeah. Anyways.
Hilarious.
We're gonna get back to our lives now.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
My name is Matt Visual.
The Bush.
George Bush.